The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus entered a village where a woman whose name was Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary who sat beside the Lord at his feet listening to him speak. Martha, burdened with much serving, came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me." The Lord said to her in reply, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her."
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, I'm at it again. I still, despite being a millennial, I can't figure out the printer in my office, so I'm back to using a tablet. You know, I'm a really big fan of baseball. Some of you that come to Daily Mass have heard me reference it already, so you know that's the case, but the rest of you now are in the know. And anytime we get to this point of year, this time in summer, I'm always reminded of a name that's given to this period of time in baseball. They call it the dog days of summer. You hit these long, hot summer days. We've been getting a little break here in Oregon recently, but you know what I mean, long and hot, and they just drag on. And the excitement of summer that is the beginning of baseball season starts to wane, and all of a sudden the teams have to just kind of settle into this grind. And only the really good teams that can settle into a routine, that can keep the fundamentals in front of them and can stick to the task at hand, can make it through this stretch of the period and really kind of separate themselves from the rest of the group. And it's only the really devout fans of baseball that can pay any kind of mind to this time of year, because it's just game after game after game after game, and you get lost. And so it's really tempting, especially when there's so many wonderful things for us to do during the summertime, to give any attention to what's happening. So it's easy to tune out and just wait for the postseason races to begin in September. So in a similar way, the reason this comes to mind for me is that it's true in baseball, but it's also true in our daily lives, in our lives as Catholics as well. You know, today, as I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, is the 16th Sunday of Ordinary Time. And so, as Catholics, in our liturgical year, all of the high seasons of our liturgical year have already passed. Advent has come and gone, Christmas, Lent, Easter, all of these wonderful kind of high seasons when we have a lot of things going on spiritually and liturgically and in our families and in our homes, those have all passed. And now we've settled into this kind of, well, ordinary time, right? So when we say, well, it's the 16th Sunday of ordinary time, it can kind of sound mundane or monotonous, kind of like the dog days of summer in baseball, just one Sunday after another. One Sunday after another. But is this really just one other Sunday? Is this just an ordinary weekend at St. Cecilia's Church when we could be doing any number of things as devout Catholics and people of faith? We've chosen to come here to Mass, and maybe it's become routine. Maybe it's just fundamental to the way that we live our lives as Catholics. But is this really only an ordinary Sunday? Do we look at ordinary time in the right way? Really, if we want to get a different perspective of what the church means when it says ordinary time, just look at the root of the word, order. So as we've come down from all of the high points, the high seasons in the liturgical year, the rest of the year is just called ordinary. Is that because it's mundane? Because we're in the 16th week of 33 Sundays of ordinary time. We're right in the middle of it, right in the heart of those dog days of the liturgical year. Is it just ordinary, or is the Lord calling us to order our lives, especially in these regular, what can become routine moments in our life. Continue to order our lives around Christ, around the Lord, that even in the middle of July, when we could be doing so many other things, we come here. We begin our day on Sunday here at the foot of our Lord Jesus Christ, to hear his words proclaimed, to encounter him and experience him in his life. So there's no surprise then that in her wisdom, the church puts these readings for us today, right in the heart, right in the dog days of our liturgical year, they were given these passages. And in the first reading, we hear of the encounter between Abraham and Sarah and these mysterious strangers. Now, there's a lot of insights we can take from this as Christians, especially when we look at this scene. We can see that it says very explicitly that it was as the day was growing hot. As the day was growing hot, Abraham was sitting under a terebinth tree in the shade. So as the day, that dog day of summer for Abraham was wearing on, he was sitting doing what was normal and routine for him. He was sitting under a shade tree, resting until the summer heat passed by. But then on the distance, he saw the Lord's presence appear to him. He saw these three strangers. And note, as Christians, how interesting this Hebrew text is. He saw the Lord appeared to him, and there were three of them. And he runs out to meet him. A man, our father in faith, Abraham, runs out to meet these strangers, and he says, "Sir," singular. Three people, he says, "Sir," acknowledging the Lord's presence in these three persons. Sounds kind of familiar. So the Lord appears to Abraham and Sarah. And because of their faith, they give such a great witness and example to married couples especially, that at no matter what point or season in our life we find ourselves, any given day, the Lord's presence can be manifest before us. And what do? When Abraham could have just sat in the shade, tuned out, and allowed the Lord to pass by, instead he sprung up and ran out to meet him. He engaged the Lord and said, "Sir, please don't pass by. Please come to my presence. Please come to my dwelling. Allow us to host you. Allow our home to be your dwelling." And so Abraham rushes back to the tent. He asks his wife, Sarah, "Sarah, can you please take the finest flour we have and make some rolls, make something for our guests?" And he puts his servants to labor, and they stop everything they're doing to offer up a welcome of hospitality to the Lord. And they plead with the Lord to remain with them. This example and this devotion of Abraham and Sarah leads to great, great things and many blessings in their life. Even though it was in the later years of their life, the Lord makes a promise to them after that show of devotion and love that they would drop everything in just a moment to serve the Lord and to welcome him into their presence. He offers them blessings. And he promises that their marriage will be generative, will generate new children in the world. And so we see in this encounter between Abraham and Sarah the beginning of the people of Israel, the people that are even our ancestors in faith. That's why we call Abraham our father in faith. His faith and his devotion and his service to the Lord in that moment, even though it could have been a mundane summer day in the deserts of Palestine, wherever that scene took place, wherever it was, he was ready to serve the Lord. And in like manner, when we look at the gospel, we see a similar kind of encounter, don't we? Jesus comes to a village, and he visits his dear friends, Mary and Martha. In this passage from Luke, it doesn't come across in the beginning like they know each other all too well, but it comes across really clearly in the way that Jesus acknowledges Martha's concerns, right? Instead of just responding, he says, "Martha, Martha," like a friend would. He says, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things, There's only one thing that's important. As we come here to St. Cecilia this Sunday, there's no doubt many things that we could be doing with our time. There's many, many things in our lives that are vying for our attention, be it the regular distractions of the day. Maybe we have plans for this afternoon. Maybe we have vacation ahead of us or a baseball game to go see. Or maybe some of us have come here with a lot of burdens. You know, perhaps maybe many of us have come here with a lot of burdens on our shoulders, be it strains in our relationships with family, struggles we have at work or the lack thereof, financial problems, housing. The list goes on. There's so many things that we could be concerned or worried about. We could be a lot like Martha, that in the Lord's presence we come here and we bring all of that stuff with us, and we're sitting here at the church not knowing what to do with it. And the Lord says to Martha and to all of us, there's need of only one thing. The need and the one thing is the thing that really Martha and Abraham both got right. They recognized the Lord's presence and they wanted to do something in return. But in Martha's case, she had many anxieties and worries that she brought with her too. And they seemed to take precedence over her being presented the opportunity to be present to the Lord, to Jesus right there. And so she says to Martha, Mary's chosen the better part, and it won't be taken from her. Like Abraham, Mary dropped everything that she was doing in that moment, recognizing who was present to her in her house, and she sat at his feet, taking the disposition of a disciple. She wanted to hear what the Lord had to say and to take time to put him above all other things. And while that may have been true for Martha as well, obviously she recognized the Lord's presence and she sprung into action like a good hostess would. She started to prepare everything. She allowed all of these other worries and anxieties to weigh on her as she came and was present to the Lord. And so it's not that the Lord here is saying, sometimes you'll hear with this passage, it's like, which one's better? Is it Martha or Mary? And the Lord says that Mary chose the better part. But he didn't say that Martha's part was bad or that she did the wrong thing. It's just that Mary had her priorities straight. In the Lord's presence, she put him above all other anxieties and worries. And so, brothers and sisters, this is a good learning opportunity for us. And our liturgical worship, the year, every time we come to Mass, it prepares us to react in a similar way to Abraham and to Mary. We come here to Mass, every time we come to Mass, and the first thing we do after singing some hymns and giving praise is we all sit down at the foot of Jesus. We're here as disciples to hear his word proclaimed in all of the readings, in the responsorial psalms, in the gospel, and hopefully in the homily. And we sit here and we listen to the Lord, what he has to say for us this day. It's not that we don't have anxieties or burdens or other things going on outside of this church, other plans for the future, other hopes and expectations. Man, I hope the Red Sox beat the Yankees today. But that's all set aside. And we walk into this church and we sit at the feet of Jesus. We put him first in our day. And then, after doing that, we gather together, proclaim our faith in that one Lord who's here and present with us, and we offer our prayers. And that's the time when we can take all those burdens, all those concerns, all those cares, the prayers of thanksgiving, the prayers of supplication, I need this, or I'm struggling with that, and we can place it on the Lord's shoulders here at the altar. We can offer up everything that we've done in our lives in this past week and all of our hopes and dreams and all of those burdens, and we can give it over to the Lord. Because we've put the first things first. And then after that, everything else can fall into place, and we can allow the Lord to take that burden off our shoulders. And brothers and sisters, this is not just something we can do when we're at Mass on Sunday, but it's something we can do every day. Every day. First, put the Lord first, and then allow everything else to fall into place. If we acknowledge the Lord's presence and invite Him into our homes, if we invite Him into our lives, into those moments when we're in need, all of those anxieties and burdens, they won't, I'm not promising they're going to go away, but you're not going to carry them yourself. The Lord's presence is going to be with you. And you'll see how all those priorities, all those things that we were trying to juggle, they start to fall into right order. When we put Christ first, when we put our devotion to the Lord first, everything else will settle into place. And as we go through these dog days of summer, and we try to grind our way to that postseason of life, getting to the promised land, this routine of being present to the Lord and offering our praise and thanksgiving to Him will prepare us for those tough days when we'd rather just sit under a terebinth tree in the shade and soak up that cool air. We won't be afraid at the drop of a hat to run out to greet the Lord when He's present to us and to give thanks to Him and ask Him to dwell with us and our families forever.